It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's when I realized that I had been using the concept of poop way too often in the little opening bits we did, and that maybe it was a sign of something, and I should leave it be and not do that anymore.
Well, I honestly didn't notice.
Yeah, no, the last two were...
Huh.
We had the rainbow pooping.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the game show Smushed Bug or Poop.
Oh.
And those were, like, I think back-to-back.
Hmm.
So.
Didn't really notice.
I noticed poop.
Good.
I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping you were going to keep doing the accent for the whole episode.
What accent?
When you came in, you said, very good.
What?
When I said, are you ready to get started? And you said, yeah. And I said, okay then. And you said, very good.
I did?
Yes. And I was like, maybe this is a new character.
I didn't notice.
Maybe this is your Borat or something.
Nope, sorry.
Which would make this your Ali G, so that's a little scary.
I didn't mean to disappoint.
You're wearing a different hat. I think you're wearing the same shirt, but you're wearing a different hat.
I've got two shirts like this, so it could be.
Oh. They both have the same amount of, like, battle damage?
Nope. The other one's got less. And the other one has straps.
That's your Batman Begins shirt, and this is your Dark Knight shirt.
I guess.
All right.
I guess.
So, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that is, in fact, just a text-based blog, but due to an accident during a scientific experiment involving gamma rays, whenever the blog gets angry, it turned into a podcast.
And you wouldn't like it when it's angry.
Clearly. Listen to the show.
Yep.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 324.
Yeah, which also you should think in terms of when you listen to this podcast, the podcast is only wearing a small tattered pair of purple pants.
Stretched to their limit.
Yes, yes. Let's say juicy on the butt. I like to think of myself as relatively open vis-a-vis fashion,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a well-known pervert, you know, so this all works together, and yet, the one thing that, like, my brain just can't comprehend is, at what point was somebody like, you know what people want? Women want the word juicy across their ass, and then that person turned out to be right!
Yeah. Well...
Like... Of all the things, first of all, to write on your butt with your pants, but second of all the things to write, like,
mm-hmm.
other than, like, stanky, like, I don't really know. Should I start that line? Stanky couture?
Maybe.
It's just, we have one product, people. We have sweatpants that say stanky on the butt via iron-on patch in Comic Sans font.
Let's see how that goes. I mean, yeah.
Do not steal my idea. I will put together the Indiegogo campaign tonight.
Do not steal it.
So,
It's probably already happened.
Stanky Couture?
Yeah, probably.
You think this is one of those two people coming up with the original? This is like when Sir Isaac Newton and the German guy came up with calculus at the same time.
At the same time, yep.
But with sweatpants that say stanky.
It's exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same thing.
This isn't the first time I've been compared to Sir Isaac Newton.
I know.
It's also not the first time I've been compared to some German guy.
No, that's right. That's right.
Hmm.
That's correct.
So, for those of you just joining us, I feel like, based on what you just heard, you should probably drop your expectations a little lower.
Yep.
that was pretty good stuff for us.
And then just keep going.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're never going to be like, oh, I underestimate. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No, just keep on going.
Anyway, here's how the show works. Right. We are almost morbidly self-deprecating.
Mm.
And people mostly listen to see if at some point we will be so humble as to actually kill ourselves on air.
Is that what?
And then somebody will post it. In my will, I have specific instructions how to put up the last episode, just in case that happens.
Is suicide the ultimate logical step after humility? Is that? I didn't know that.
Well, I think if you go far enough.
I see.
You're eventually, like, you are literally worth so little as to be a waste of the metabolic processes, you know?
Okay, well, I didn't know humility was diminishing oneself, but maybe it is. I don't know.
That's how I've always interpreted it. Humility is a sense of less self-worth than others might assume versus self-worth than others might
assume. I thought humility was... Well, I didn't think of humility as the opposite of pride. I thought of humility as if you're humble, it means that you have actually a realistic perspective on the value of, say, your opinion. Like, you value your opinion, but you understand other people have valuable opinions also. You know that you could possibly be wrong about some things, and you're willing to entertain that. See, humility is just this across-the-board good thing, is in my mind.
Yeah. This time, I'm pretty sure me and the dictionary and everybody else will in unison tell you that's not what that means.
Okay.
Now, it is easy to see how one could be confused in this current society, because especially in internet culture, to hold the attitude you are speaking of is to be one of the most humble people on the internet.
Okay, but
that sort of middle steady path is actually not humble. That's just sort of normal and real, as opposed to boastful or humble.
I see. Yeah. I was just drawing a distinction between humility and humiliation. Like, those are two different things to me.
Which they are.
Okay.
Although a lot of that has to do, I think, with internalizing versus externalizing.
I see.
And it gets weird, yeah, because there is to be humble, and then there is to humble oneself, and then there is humility. And there are, I mean, humble, humility, humiliation are all, I'm sure, derived from...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I imagine so.
Word
yeah.
roots.
Yeah.
But I think they've all got slightly subtle differences.
Difference in meaning, okay.
Yes. But that's not actually how the show works. what we just experienced...
In a way, it's exactly like the show
works. This is how the show works, yes. no, I meant the first part where I lied was not. The part where I lie and then other shit happens and now we're here.
Right,
that's fairly accurate.
Yeah, that's fairly accurate.
Not being humble... being realistic. Here's how it goes. We have a hat, and it's magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool folks, keen folks, I mix it up a little bit each time so people know we didn't just pre-record this part.
Right.
Right into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its elemental servants, he's, humidity, and I'm all the cool ones, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored. Do that for about an hour, that's the whole show, and then 10 minutes later, after I've made him watch something on YouTube, we do it all again, because we have to do two of them tonight. So because somebody invented enough time travel so that they can see Wonder Woman the night before it opens, but didn't invent enough time travel that they could just work it out so we could do the podcast in a week.
I'm still not sure how that happened. So, humidity, so does that mean my superhero name is Mr. Moist?
That I think most people would say that is a super villain name. Oh. Well, it is a henchman.
So am I super villain then?
That's a henchman from Dr. Horrible is Moist.
Oh, well, that's not fine.
Moisture villain, yes.
Never mind then. Yes, Wonder Woman.
No, mostly You probably don't have this either. You're not one of those people bothered by that word?
No.
I am not either, except that it is so prevalent that now I'm bothered by it, I think, sympathetically. Now when I hear it, I'm like, oh, that would bug so many people. So
it makes me think of cake.
Yeah, you're right.
Because
right.
That's how it was always described in the commercials.
Yes, and on the box, Dungeness moist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were surprised to find out that we could see Wonder Woman on Thursday instead of Friday, which now Thursday is the first. I don't know why.
That's been happening a lot. It's not like a midnight show, right?
No.
Yeah, I think they've been switching deals where it's like Thursday night and somehow it still counts because they're counting from some other time zone.
Anyway, we noticed we could get tickets on Thursday, so it's like, well, I guess that's what, I mean... Yes, I guess that's what we're going to do. So there's a 7 o'clock show on Thursday at the mall, and obviously that would interfere with this, so you were kind enough to allow us to record two tonight.
Yeah, I'm good like that.
But it's a week from now, and in 1 week we'll be watching Wonder Woman, and I'll have to let some people know immediately.
You will, actually.
What it was like.
You'll need to let me know, not that. But here's the thing. I have a friend... who, for the purposes of this, might as well remain anonymous. I don't know why, but I feel the need to say this. It's not me. I'm not talking about me. This is a point that could apply to me, but I'm not talking about me. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But.
Is this a person who's looking for information on triggering things?
Yes.
Okay, well, this person has contacted me personally about this.
Oh. Are you sure it's the same person?
I don't see why it wouldn't be.
Yeah, because this person is easily triggered by scenes of sexual assault, and there is nothing about the way this movie looks and how the story looks and everything so far that seems to imply that that might, any sort of sexual assault might happen, but media has taught us now that's how you get strong women, is through sexual assault.
Well,
and so they could just throw a scene in there and not have told us.
There are... The one thing where I think it might happen, there's two places that I think it might happen. There are things in the actual myths of the Amazons that pertain to the stealing of Hippolyta's girdle or whatever that imply something like that might have happened. And sometimes DC Comics will incorporate that into Wonder Woman's stories. Mm-hmm. And there's also if they decide they want to remind us how horrible. You know, things in World War One were. They might throw that kind of thing in. So I'm going to keep a lookout for it, and I'll talk to this person that night, hopefully, about it. And you know,
because they want to see it right away.
Right. So, and hopefully there isn't anything. I can't imagine Patty Jenkins really doing that since it's not necessary.
I don't know. I was torn. I would be surprised. I also wouldn't be surprised. Like, yeah.
Well, but
I guess I'm supposed to say, I would be disappointed if that turned out.
The thing is, you know, Patty Jenkins is constantly talking about how she was inspired by the 1978 Superman movie. Mm-hmm. And how much she'd like for kids to be able to come see this. But it's going to be hard because there's war and stuff in it, violence.
Yeah.
But you'd think that where she could avoid a particular topic, that she would.
Well, you know? And Gal Gadot's embracing pretty hard. I mean, she... shockingly actually came out and said that she thinks Wonder Woman is a feminist, which is kind of impressive compared to most celebrities out there who aren't willing to put that sort of stamp.
Right.
And it's really sad that that's impressive. But she did. And it just has led me to believe, I think she would have been pissed if there was something like that in there.
Yeah, it seems like it. But I will keep an eye out
but
for it.
I wouldn't be willing to bet a large sum of money. I wouldn't be willing to risk it.
No, I wouldn't either.
Hollywood's fucking stupid.
And I've seen this kind of thing in DC before in relation to Wonder Woman stories. So I totally understand, and I will keep an eye out for it and let this person know.
We used to make a joke in our role-playing group if somebody would be making a female character and look at it and say, oh, so you're playing a female character, the strong female character here, but I don't see in your backstory where it is you got raped.
Yeah, right.
And that was our joke. And then it just became so frequent in the media that we were like, yeah, we're going to stop using it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very sad reality.
So how was your week?
It was, it was kind of stressful. I I think I said I've been working on a project with a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this project required me to do a
nude scene,
4 to 5 hour presentation on Sunday, okay, with my clothes on.
Is this the book thing with Meg's mom?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I would say overall it did not go well. It wasn't a disaster or like a complete failure, but I would characterize it as something that didn't go entirely well.
Hmm.
So you don't
have any experience with this before though, so you don't have comparison. Maybe they all suck the first round or.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons I've been asked to do this is because, you know, I have done similar things before.
All right.
So,
comparatively, you've seen it go way better than.
Oh yes. Oh my yes. I mean, I used to do. I mean, back when we worked together, there was a kind of a presentation thing I came up with that I ended up taking to Chicago, and the CEO was there and everything.
Oh wow!
And it went really well. In fact, I don't ever remember doing presentations anywhere.
I didn't know Scrawny Claws got that popular.
I mean, you know, there's always something, a little something that goes wrong, but I've never had a presentation like where I left it feeling like, wow, that just wasn't very good. What was different about this one, though, from anything else I'd ever done, was there were a lot of rules. Like, if you've been trained in this kind of thing, and I have been, or you've just done it for a while, which I've also, that's true for me also, there are certain things that you always do because, I don't know, you just get used to certain unwritten rules. And this time around, there was a noted theatrical element that sort of, you know, suggested maybe some of the rules should be jettisoned, and it should be treated more like a performance than, say, a workshop or a presentation. Now, of course, I knew that there was quite a bit of risk in doing that, right? Because there's rules for reasons. These rules work, you know. The reason you follow these rules is because if you don't, it usually that's when bad things happen.
Since these rules were implemented, violent crime has gone down 20% in all.
I'm just saying, like in a standard corporate presentation, you always start by discussing very explicitly discussing what the objectives are, why people are even there, and what you intend for people to get out of it, or you get from the group what they intend to get from it, you know, that kind of stuff. But again, because we were thinking, well, maybe we want to make this feel more like a performance, you know, we're gonna jettison some of that stuff and sort of try to get people in a different mindset right off the bat.
So you were dressed as like a knight and you came along and Mick's mom is there over the cauldron.
I was wearing like a costume. And
really?
We had some decorations in the thing.
Oh, wow.
So that was a little bit different than I was used to, having this theatrical element. And also, because this was the first time and we were doing it in front of people we knew, we thought, well, let's even be experimental and let's just go for broke. So part of it not going very well, I'm okay with, because well, we were experimenting and things are bound to not go well.
We checked off that experiment.
Yeah, exactly.
Results negative.
But you know, you do kind of hope if you're going to do something experimental that it'll mostly work. But of course, it didn't mostly work, and that's all right, because again, I knew everybody and they knew what we were doing, and they were very kind and generous and gave good feedback and whatever. But it was helpful. And it was, you know, it was a fine experiment, but you don't walk away from something like that feeling, you know, particularly good.
Later, half the audience killed me.
Well, I hope that's not true. But, I mean, overall, I mean, I'll see you next time. I don't know.
You know what? I know we want to be realistic and not seem a bias or whatever, but I'm going to say, on that one, I think you can push it and just say, that's not true.
I don't think
we have to entertain the possibility that half your audience killed themselves shortly after seeing your performance.
Okay, fine.
I know, strictly speaking.
I'll give you that.
All right.
But so it was very stressful and a little bit, you know, like I said, you don't feel,
it's disappointing.
Yeah,
you don't feel
great afterwards. On the other hand, again, looking at it,
anything you can walk away from.
Yeah. On the other hand, looking at the bigger picture, it was an important, I mean, I think it was important that we tried certain things, at least to see if they were going to work, And so that was all good. The only
and real, as far as we know, nobody committed suicide.
That's right. The only real problem I have with it, after all is said and done, you know, because you, when you know, you get over it, you know, a couple days after something like that, you totally get over it, and you just think about, okay, what worked, what didn't work.
And you get over it.
And the only problem with it at the end is, I'm honestly not sure where to go next, because one of the things we were supposed to figure out through with this thing was, okay, well, we're going to try to put a book together with this gal's ideas, but, and we thought maybe the presentation would help us do that, and I'm not sure that it did that. So now we're still not sure where we're going with the book, and now we're also not sure where we're going with the presentation. So we're kind of back to square one, and that's kind of, but not exactly square one, I guess, because we know some things that aren't going to work. So, you know, I guess we've eliminated those things. But anyway, that was the big thing I did over the week, and it caused quite a bit of my focus and a little bit of consternation.
This is why I try not to do things, because sometimes this happens.
Well, it'll be fine. I look forward to giving it another shot and learning from our, I wouldn't call them mistakes, because like I said, they were experiments, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. And a lot of the fall shows have ended.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
So,
freaking watch the season finale of Elementary off the DVR.
Mm-hmm.
It cut off, like, the last 2 minutes.
No way!
Which has, like 8 reveals. Admittedly, 6 of which I had already guessed, but still. Yeah, we had to immediately go online and, like, look, summary of finale and finally, yeah, put it together. And yeah, and we knew most of them, but just to be safe, you know. Well, and you know it's bad because when I told the story to my gaming group, they kind of aggressively refused to believe that was the season finale. They had already seen it and did not know it was the season finale. They're like, no, it's not. And I'm like, it is. And she looks up, she's finally like, oh, you're right. I'm like, I know. That's why I said that.
Well, what about the rest of your week?
It's been tiring. I went to the doctor today, as is my duty, every 3 to 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure they're not cutting anything off. The numbers were not great, which I expected. This hasn't been a good few months in terms of physical activity or eating.
Mm.
I have had a problem for a while now of just exhaustion.
Hmm.
I'm just tired all the time. It's kept me back from work a couple times.
Hmm.
And in general, I've had sort of a muscle pain in all my limbs a lot of the times, especially like if I'm sitting somewhere and then I get up, like that'll happen a lot. And it was just so pervasive. So I was talking to the doc about it. And so now we ran all of the blood tests. Like, we tested for things I didn't even know were in there. And he said there's nothing in there that should explain it. So we think it could be a combination of, once I have been really sort of lethargic lately and stuff, and once I get a little more active again, that could help. But also, I'm going to go back in for another sleep study.
Oh, okay.
It's possible my CPAP needs to be tuned, basically.
Oh, really?
Well, things can change over time. That's the thing. It's not just, here's a generic machine.
Right.
It's the, here's exactly how much pressure you need going in, right. And then can you cope with that pressure when you're exhaling?
Right, right.
There's other things. And it can change over time as your size and shape change, as whatever condition you have may or may not change.
Right.
So, and yeah, Trish says sometimes I, like, move my legs in my sleep.
Oh, okay.
And so they want to check out that. And I did fall out of bed again.
Really?
Yes.
How does that happen?
To be fair here, people, we're talking like twice in, what, 3 years or something.
Still.
Well, this time I was at least partially awake. Like, I remember the experience.
Mm.
I must have just been too close to the edge. Yeah, it wasn't like the other time where I'm just sound asleep and then something hits my back and it turns out to be the ground. That was so weird.
That is weird.
Totally missed the fall on that one. This one I was like I could, I was like, oh, shit. And then I got back up, I put the CPAP back in place.
But you didn't hurt yourself.
No, right? I didn't. Okay. I got back into bed, went back to sleep, okay. And then in the morning I'm like, hey, I think I fell out of bed. And Trish's like, that's what that was. I was kind of half asleep. I didn't notice. Oh, shit. I have more to talk about than anyone. Finished Shadow of Mordor.
Okay.
And I am playing my new game, which was not even on my list of possible ones. But I was sort of hunting around. And I really needed something that was the sort of right level of interaction. And more than that, something that was pleasant. That was not dark and bleak.
Because
most games are like that now. And all the games I want to play are like that. The Mass Effect one was my luckiest guess for maybe not being. Or Final Fantasy, which I'm like, holy shit, it's a Japanese RPG. It's going to be so overwrought in the middle. But it still, comparatively, did not seem that bad. And then I found Dragon Quest Builders.
What's that?
Dragon Quest Builders is basically Minecraft with a plot dressed up in Dragon Quest clothes.
Oh, what's Dragon Quest clothes?
Back in the day, on the NES, there was a game called Dragon Warrior. In Japan, that game was called Dragon Quest. It was very popular in both places, and it spawned many, 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 many sequels, manga, cartoon shows.
And I've never even heard of it. It
still goes to this day. It is one of the oldest ones of those. You're in a fantasy land, and there was something evil, but now the seals are opening and it's coming back, but you're the chosen one, and you're going to go from town to town, getting slowly more powerful and able to buy better equipment, until eventually you will challenge them and save the world. That's basically the plot of almost every RPG video game before, like, 1995.
Yeah, like Diablo.
Yep.
They're all like that now.
And it started with ones like this. Like, why is the original Final Fantasy.
Why is it called Dragon Warrior and Dragon Quest?
I don't know why they changed the name. They used to do that for...
But what for dragon? Why dragon? Do you fight a dragon at the end?
The Dragon Lord is the bad guy.
Oh, okay.
And you are, I think you are the prophesied dragon warrior.
I see.
Your armor looks a little dragon-y, I guess.
Okay.
anyway, the reason we need to know this in particular, because the rest of the series went on very, very popular, very exciting. There have been like 8 from the main series. There have been lots of little spin-offs. There are all sorts of things. They're still going on. Just last year, they released a game that was like a fighting game with various characters from it and stuff. They also have some very cute monsters. The initial, like, little tiny monster that you have to fight are a slime. And it's just like a little, like, droplet-shaped thing with a face.
Okay.
And they're really cute, and you beat the crap out of them. And as the game goes on, they're a different color, and they're bigger and meaner and stuff like that. They've had their own spin-off puzzle game series. Like, very popular. So, in the original game, which I technically never beat, I could not beat the end guy. And I could have, you know, spent years grinding and getting more powerful, but I was not into that. But when you face off against the end guy, he offers you, as many villains do, a chance to come to his side and rule half the world with him. You'll have one half in a... And it's an actual dialogue choice. Yes or no. And I tried it, because of course I did. And I saved first, because I'm not an idiot. And if you say yes... He basically says, I haven't seen it in decades, but he basically says, oh, wonderful, but for now, go to sleep, and then game over.
Really?
Yes, which I'm like, you know, if you could do that from the begin, like, why? Why would I just walked in the door? You weren't like, dude, go to sleep. And he wins in this, and so then, you know, reload, do it the right way. Dragon Quest Builders presumes... an alternate reality in which the Dragon Warrior said, okay, and then he went to sleep. And so he took over the world. Darkness everywhere. Terrible monsters. Surprisingly cute monsters come out, terrorizing everything. And the biggest one is he took away humans' ability and understanding to build.
Anything.
Anything. So they basically lived in, like, the ruins, and then the ruins would get bad enough they'd have to move on, and, like, yeah, it was terrible for hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years.
And then you, as is one, are, like, in a tomb or dead or suspended anime, I don't know, something. Suddenly a goddess is like, hey, get up, and you get up. And you're not a hero. It is mentioned so many times that you're not a hero. You are a builder. You have the ability to build. And so you're going to bring it back to the world and save everybody.
Mm.
And from that point on, it's pretty much Minecraft.
Oh, I see.
But with a lot of, like, quests, because people come to your town and want to live there, and then they say, can you do this for me, or you need to go check this out. And so there's an actual plot going on at the same time.
I see.
And it's a blast. I'm having such a great time with it.
Oh, okay.
It's really awesome. It's just, I really like Minecraft, but it is a little open for me,
mm-hmm.
and this gives me more focus.
Mm.
And it's just nice, you know, despite being a story about humanity having the very ability to create ripped from their minds and centuries of darkness and monsters, it's a surprisingly cute and upbeat game. I mean, it's cartoon, even the dragon lord who did it, he's a cute looking little Muppet of a guy, you know, So that's good. And then, okay, I saw a couple of movies.
Okay.
Still haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Hmm. Hope to do it this weekend when we're at the in-laws. I saw another episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000, the new season, and watched the 1981 classic Carnival Magic. It is a movie about a carnival, like a traveling carnival,
yeah,
and a bunch of carnies.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a movie in which there is a chimpanzee who can speak English. And that is neither the most interesting nor the funniest thing about the movie.
Hmm.
And I think it's supposed to be.
Oh.
But mostly his friend slash trainer slash owner is way funnier. He's the whitest of white guys, done a nice California tan, who supposedly was raised by Buddhist monks in Tibet growing up and has all these mystical powers, and he basically just goes around touching the lives of carnies and putting them on the right. It's like a weird episode of Touched by an Angel, but it's like touched by a mesmerist and his talking monkey. Silly as fuck. So that was really fun. It would be terrible not as Mystery Science Theater, but as Mystery Science Theater. Very good. And then, the more interesting thing, last night, we finally saw The Nice Guys.
Oh.
The last year, I think, set in the 70s, buddy detective
comedy
with Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling.
Yep.
I had heard very mediocre things.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't seen it, right?
No. But we thought the previews were pretty funny.
Previews look good, and I'm just like, you had me at Ryan Gosling, Russell Crowe, buddy cop thing. Like you're done. And the 70s just makes it all the more fun.
Yeah, right.
But I've heard very sort of about it, and so I was a little nervous. I mean, I still wanted to see it, but no, it was good.
Yeah.
It's silly. It's also very violent. Like, when it gets violent, it's a hard R in a lot of ways.
Mm.
But it's all goofy. Like, some dude, like, there's actually a scene where there's a fight scene and somebody ducks out of the way in time. So a neighbor in another building gets shot and presumably killed. We don't even follow up on that.
Mm.
Like, that just happened.
Mm.
The whole thing's very 70s. And so it has that sort of surreal action movie quality, even though it's sort of supposed to be real life, ostensibly. They've just got good chemistry.
Yeah.
Because actually, I think Gosling was not the ideal casting choice for that. He does good. But that's the thing. Based on the trailers and based on the actors, you kind of think, and even based on the beginning of the movie, really, you think you've got down who's playing which part sort of thing. But no, I think that's sort of a theme of the movie, is that these guys who are theoretically on the same side have very different moralities, none of which matches with just legal. But there's a lot of looking at the morality of things, even while it's just going crazy and people are shooting people and stuff. But they just have great chemistry. The other trick is, one of them has a daughter, is a single dad and has a daughter who's like 13. She's in the movie way more than you would expect, and she steals it. She's amazing. But it's just fun, and it has a lot of good banter. A lot of quotable stuff. Trish and I have been quoting stuff since last night at each other. And it's 70s-licious. Like, everything about it, they recreated it so beautifully. It's like the good parts of American Hustle combined with sort of an offbeat buddy cop movie, you know, out of the 80s. It's that kind of vibe. So I would recommend it. Here's a weird thing, and it's really weird, given everything I've said, you will probably not expect this from this movie, but it had very bad CGI.
I would be surprised if it had any CGI.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it does. Not a lot. Like, there's a scene with a particularly impressive car crash that was clearly CGI, and there's blood spray, you know, movies. Because there's a couple of times where people take, like, five bullets and they're against a white wall or whatever. And just every time, and I mean, I don't even know that Trish had any trouble, and it's very small, like, so I don't really care, but it just stood out. I'm like, production values on this are great. Except a couple times they did visual effects, and it was just, like, really obvious and clunky. It was very strange. And also drew attention to, like, wow, this movie has more CGI than I would expect. but no, I definitely recommend that movie.
So. Okay.
That's all I got. We'll see what next week happens in 10 minutes. Or wait, 10 minutes after we're done.
10 minutes after we're done, yes.
So more like 35 minutes, I think.
Okay. Coffee!
No, thank you. I have to sleep soon.
What superstitions do you have? Which have more authority over you than your own reasoning ability?
I cannot ever hear this without thinking of... This is hard to say. I was not a huge fan of the American version of The Office.
I didn't watch it at all, because I thought the British version was so much better.
Yeah, yeah, and it was, especially in the beginning. But it had some amazing moments that will live with me forever. Like the bit about how Jim Halpert made Dwight hit himself in the head with his phone. I think I've even talked about this on the podcast. There's some bit where he's going through complaints. They're going through complaints that Dwight has filed with HR against Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mostly a list of like all the different kind of pranks he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole bunch that's like, you know, I think Jim is moving my desk. I can't prove it, but I've been measuring it compared to the wall. And then you cut to Jim in an interview thing saying, yep, I moved it 1 inch a week, and he never noticed. And all sorts of different ones. It's like, yeah, there's one he says, every time I type my name into my word processor, it comes out diapers. And cut back to Jimmy's like, just a simple macro replace. But then there's one he says, this morning I hit myself in the head with my phone. And it cuts to Jimmy's like, I'm actually proud of this one. Very slowly over time, I taped nickels on the inside of the phone receiver until he got used to the weight, and then I took them all out. See, and that is entirely theirs. The British office did not have that, so I like that. But anyway, the point is, anytime people talk about superstition, I remember Michael Scott saying one time, he says, I'm not superstitious. But I'm kind of stitious.
That's good. That's and really so good.
Anytime somebody asks me, like, that's always the response I want to give.
That's awesome.
I'm not superstitious, but I'm kind of stitious. He's such a 5-year-old in that show.
It's that amazing. Is great. That's great.
He also tried to give CPR to a black guy who was having a heart attack and was like, Stanley, wake up! Obama is president, Stanley! You won! Come on!
You won.
Yeah, it was like just a few months after. Anyway, superstitions.
I really can't think of any. I mean, the way I was raised, it was, I don't know, my family didn't have any. And if they ever came up, it was to talk about how they don't really make sense. You know, I've talked about how my dad's grandfather was a dowser. You know, he witched wells and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So obviously, somewhere in my family, there were certain kind of interesting beliefs, but...
So your family's kind of stitious.
I guess. But, I mean, you know, like, rabbit foot, you know, or like, don't walk under ladders, or, you know, throw salt over your shoulder if you spill, all that stuff? No, we didn't do any of that stuff.
I am not superstitious, but I am... No. to me, this is a long process throughout my life, and is intimately tied to some of my phobias.
Mm.
As a kid, I was dumb, like all kids, believed all of them. So, I genuinely would not step on a sidewalk crack, because I was worried about my mom. Then as I got a little older, I'd get mad at my mom, we'd have a fight, and I'd go out and I'd like stomp on a sidewalk crack to see what would happen.
That's interesting.
I think when I got even older, one time I did it in front of her, just to get a rise out of her. But anyway, you know, salt over the shoulder, that kind of stuff. And I was always, there's a lot of, you know, I was scared by scary stuff. I was scared by horror movies. I was scared of the dark. I was scared by ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
And a common thing in a lot of those is frequently, like, saying something you weren't supposed to, or, you know, breaking a superstitious rule. You know, don't say Bloody Mary in front of the mirror five times, mm-hmm. or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. And that reinforced it a little bit, and so I would be scared of, like, I would never do those things. And then I got into college, and I turned pagan, just magically one day, poof. No, I took a class. Afterwards, I was pagan. They bought me on the head with a wand. And that has ritual in it, and the concept of magic as coming from one's sub or unconscious, so that, you know, to make a powerful glyph, you write it down, and then you destroy it or hide it, and the minute you can't remember what it looked like anymore is when the magic happens. Things like this. Things that you do on reflex. I developed one while I was pagan. I had a pentacle necklace that I wore, and when we would pass something dangerous on the highway, or potentially dangerous, I would kiss it and say like a little prayer. And that was, if there were dead animals, I would do that, you know, hope that they're in a better place or whatever. And then if there was a wreck on the road, of course, you know, hope everybody survived. And even to the degree then that it became, if there was a traffic stop, and I did, and Trish saw me do it one time when there was somebody just pulled over for speeding. She's like, why are you praying for this? I'm like, this is just in general, that, like, the cop doesn't have to shoot anybody, right. The person in the car is not nuts, nobody accidentally runs them over driving past. Just in general, I want this to go okay.
Right, right.
It has nothing necessarily to do with speeding. and those, to me, were little tiny, you know, rituals as they were. I haven't done any of that stuff in a long time and believed it. I still do some of them. Just like, if I spill salt, I often will toss a little over my left shoulder. But it's more like an affectation at this point, because I, rationally at least, I absolutely don't believe in any of it. Which has been a fun thing, because now that I really... When savage white... right-wing groups come to tear down our podcast because we're horrible, this is the loop they're going to play.
Okay.
What I'm about to do here.
All right.
So, as I may have mentioned, which, get off my back, I do it a lot more than most of them, I'm atheist.
Right.
And this is somewhat recent, last few years.
Yes.
And for a long time, it was something that bothered me. I was not happy being that. I have since found joy. Not a smugness against anybody else. Faith is awesome, too. I kind of miss it sometimes. But there is joy to be found in atheism. It doesn't make everything seem terrible. It makes everything seem awesome in a different way.
Sure.
So I'm kind of into it these days.
Sure.
But one of the interesting ones is what that does for things that are essentially superstitions that I didn't ever realize were. So I watch it from, like, horror movies and shit. So I can, like, try and call up Satan, and I'm not worried that something's going to happen, because I don't believe in Satan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, I try not to get really shitty about it. Like, you can occasionally deny the Lord, you know, and I'm like, eh, that just seems petty. Something that doesn't exist anyway. And maybe I'm agnostic enough that I'm like, if there is, I'm not really mad at God if there is one.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
But, you know, stuff like that, oh, no, yeah, I would sell my soul. Like, I've thought about trying to sell my soul to somebody because I'm like, I genuinely don't believe in the soul anymore. So it's going to be fun. And it's interesting as I sort of realize these things. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's just a thing that was always in my head that I'm like, no, that's not. And that was a big one, is like all the, because I still do the thing. I lost the pentacle years ago. Mm. Not, by which I don't mean I got too cool for it when I discovered atheism. I mean, I genuinely don't know where it is. I was actually devastated when it happened. Mm. But I still do the gesture, and I do it to this day when we're in the car. Like, if there's any of those situations, then I basically kiss the second knuckle of my index finger while my hand's in a loose fist, because that's pretty much where the pentacle sat when I did it. And I know it means nothing at this point. I know it genuinely is doing absolutely no good, but I just like doing it.
I can't. I mean,
so I guess I'm pretty stitious, because that took a long time to say.
I mean, when I was growing up, I mean, I just can't. You know, some people would think, you know, I grew up with just with religious faith, and some people would call that a superstition, I suppose.
I just did, just by itself.
But I mean, when I think of superstitions, I think of very specific, you know, rituals or beliefs or taboos, you know, like I would never say this, that, or the other thing. Or I mean, all my life I've known people that if I talk about something they don't want to happen, they'll say, hey, don't talk about that, you'll jinx
it. That's a huge one that, again, in my head has just sort of sat there, but then recently I'm like, what the hell? There is no such thing.
I've never even understood that.
You do have to watch out though, because choking is a real thing. So, a jinx may not be real, but a person who thinks on whatever level that they have been jinxed may unconsciously self-sabotage.
I suppose so. But I mean, you know, things like, I mean, I don't know what kinds of things, but there's just been things that I would talk about, and a person would say, don't talk about that, you'll jinx it or whatever, and I've never believed that my words can make things happen. Or whatever. But, so I guess I've never really been a superstitious person. Again, unless you count religious faith as a superstition, then I suppose, yeah, that would count for me. But it doesn't...
I don't know. I still think...
Most people are surprised I even have any religious faith because they don't see me doing superstitious things like a lot of people with religious faith do.
And I feel like in those... It only becomes an issue if you're risking something through the action. So, like, God says he loves me, I believe that, I don't feel like that's superstition. God said I can't wear shoes, even though my friends say I'm going to get frickin' hookworm. Now there's some superstition involved. Especially, there has to be a direct consequence. God says I can't wear shoes, and if I don't wear shoes, I'm going to hell. If I don't wear shoes, my feet are going to fall off. If I don't wear shoes, my mother's back will break. And then I don't wear shoes because of that. That's a superstition, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even... Even when I was growing up, prayer wasn't a big deal in my house because... Just because... Why would... I mean... You figure God knows what's happening.
Yeah.
And what's going on. I mean, prayer as far as like a meditation, like a personal introspection, but prayer like asking for stuff, I mean. That was never part of my spiritual upbringing, asking God for things in prayer, because it's like that's a superstition to us because it just doesn't make sense.
No, and that still happens. There's no way to not come off condescending about this. The feelings I get when I see the Facebook posts about everybody needs to pray for so-and-so. I'm just like... First, you have to believe in God, which I'm totally fine with people believing in God. Then you have to believe that God doesn't know or doesn't care unless you care. And that's how you prove it. And then... And then it then you have to believe on top of that that it's a popularity contest. Mm. So if these 80 people prayed X amount versus just these two people prayed the same amount, then clearly here. And then the way most people do it, you have to believe that then if the prayer is answered, that the prayer was answered, and that if the prayer wasn't answered, it's not God's decision to do it. You fucked up.
Well, but
also, even if you're going the other way, that God was just like, no, your cancer kid's gonna bite it. What the hell?
Well, also that God's just gonna change his or her mind.
It's like, because you got enough of your neighbors to pray.
It just does. It's just never made sense to me. Now, again, prayer as a meditation or as a communion with the divine or something, fine, but as far as asking for things, that was never part of our spiritual upbringing. Also,
I used to pray and ask for things. I gotta be honest. I've done it in recent months.
Prayed to ask for something?
Yes. Because it's that built in. Mm. You know? It may have been late at night or something, but there was something that was really bothering me, and I was like, I don't believe in anything, but if there is something, I really want this. Unfortunately, something that hasn't come to pass regardless so far, so I can't tell you if it was answered. But that's how ingrained it is, because I genuinely don't believe any of that, but when I get that emotionally distraught, even I am like, what's it going to hurt? You know, I'll just buy one ticket.
Well, the Bible also was something that we were raised to believe was, I mean, it's a book. It's got some helpful stuff in it, but like, you know, it didn't have magical powers. But I knew a lot of people who seemed to think it did, and that you shouldn't.
Don't see any vampires around, do you?
I don't know. I was just raised with a sort of anti-magical thinking in general. Mm. Like, you know, magical things don't happen. And it wasn't that we didn't believe in God or didn't have religious beliefs, but
it's that you lived in Melcher, Dallas.
No, no, no.
And it would just be really hard to say magic exists, but obviously not here.
The picture of God that was painted, I guess you could say, was that God knows, like, if magic exists, or even miracles exist, or if God has to intervene all the time in things, then that means when he made everything, he or she didn't do a very good job. Right? So even my interest in science was one where, you know, I'm interested in what God has made, and my approach to science is extremely skeptical. I mean, I've found myself more skeptical than a lot of atheists. I'm not
sure God made that.
No, it's more like
I don't know if that was him. I'm not sure.
It's more like I will never accept this idea that, well, we can't explain that. So there's a little space where we can, you know, stick God in. It's like, no, that doesn't make any sense. Not because I'm an atheist, but because I believe
God would be bigger than
that. God wouldn't leave little spaces like that. So, I mean, I've known other scientists who are atheists who are more willing to believe, not that God fills the gaps, but maybe something paranormal fills the gaps or whatever. But I'm far more skeptical than they are because I just don't believe that. I don't, because I believe in God, not because I don't. So,
laughter of children.
So there's not a lot of room in my worldview for. Now, that said, I am fascinated by stories about the paranormal and ghosts and things like that because I don't know. Maybe there is something. But so far, any story I've heard, as fascinated as I am with them, I've never heard a story that was so compelling that I thought, okay, I believe in that now. Because that story just hasn't come across, you know, hasn't come to me yet. But I'm a very skeptical person because of my faith rather than in spite of it.
I don't know how to tell you this, but I've been dead the whole time. Didn't you ever notice that no one else talks to me?
Just you and
Haley Joel Osment?
Your wife comes in here and talks to you all the time.
Oh, she never even existed. She's just your imagination.
She doesn't exist either.
I'm a ghost. No, I exist. I'm a ghost.
Who's eating all the food that gets delivered here?
Cats. That's how the cats survive.
But the cats interact with you, so now you're telling me the cats are real?
No, cats can see ghosts.
Oh, cats can see ghosts, okay.
But you'll notice they never interact with Trish.
Yes, they do.
When? You've never seen that.
Yeah, I've seen her pick up the cat. Sure, I have.
No, you've imagined
it. No.
You thought you did.
All right. Well, next time someone comes to the door with food, you get up and get it.
I can't. I'm a ghost. I can't hold nothing. So you don't watch Archer.
Well, I'll just let the door. I'll just let the door guy knock on the door and won't answer it. How about that?
No, because he's real.
That's all right. You can just take the food back.
The cats need it. they're real too. I can't feed them with my ghost hands. No. So you don't watch Archer, but
no.
One of the characters who's sort of a mad scientist character, at a certain point in the series, there is a joke about how he has a girlfriend that is in fact a hologram of like an anime girl. But the thing is, as is proper, is one of the cats fucking around. As is proper with Archer, this never stops. And it continues on through the series, and like he's gonna get married to her and stuff. But she's like a regular character that shows up whenever there's a projector around for it. And there is one time in a recent one where he's worked out a whole system to sell cocaine online, and they're like quizzing him on it. Cause they're like, that can't work. And he's like, no, I got this. I have this cryptocurrency and all. And they're like, and then how do they get it? He's like, through the mail. He's like, we're just packing it up now, except somebody can't do it very fast. And you look, and his holographic wife is, like, trying to pick up the kilos of cocaine, but she's a hologram, so she passes right through. And so this is what would happen if I tried to get to delivery, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't have that.
Sure we can.
The cats. Think of the cats.
Well, I'll...
Have you watched the Kitten Academy?
Make sure the cats go to homes that will love them and...
I love them. I'm just a ghost.
It's not good enough, obviously.
I'm gonna haunt the shit out of you.
That's fine.
Have you watched Kitten Academy? The YouTube feed?
I did look at it, but there wasn't anything going on, and I went 4 hours earlier, and there still wasn't anything going on.
They just graduated a class, and they're gone, and the little babies that are still nursing with their mom and their mom... got moved into the main room a few days ago.
Okay.
So new things are happening.
New things are happening.
Alright, well, we should wrap this up because we gotta do another one.
Yes, we do.
So, you guys wait a week and listen again. For us, it'll be quicker. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us if you're alive or imaginary or whatever. I know at least half our listeners are dead. And at least a quarter are imaginary, so check that out. Also, don't wear shoes, or God's going to give you hookworm.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat. @gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.